The sixth reading will be from Acts chapter 4, a short little reading from verses 23 to 31. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. Is who by mouth of thy servant David hath said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truth against thy holy child, Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold thy threatenings, and grant us as thy servants, that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, that the signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And when they had prayed, and the place was shaken, and that were there assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness.
Well, good evening, everyone.
Good
evening. Very thankful for the blessing I have to be before you once again. Sarah and I would just like to express our thanks to congregation for the baby shower, all the thoughts, prayers, gifts, and well wishes. We truly appreciate all of that, and we're very thankful for that. I love to read. It's something I find myself doing if I have any free time between everything that I do. And one book that I'm reading right now, it's called Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. And I actually read this book when I was in college. Ironically enough, it was when I was taking statistics. Feel the fear and do it anyway. But it made me start to think about fear and anxiety in the Christian life. And I think sometimes it's something that we don't discuss because some of the way that the Bible addresses fear, but I think it's a topic that should be discussed. The reading that we just had, I didn't feel it was appropriate to break it up because it was a prayer for boldness. And I think when we look at individuals in the Bible, particularly in Acts chapter 4, who are praying for boldness, what they are praying for is fearlessness. That they will not feel the fear, that they will do what is right. And in their case, it was to speak the words of God, even though it was told to them that they should not speak about God. That they should not speak about the Christ, that that is not a subject that they should talk about. But they prayed after they were threatened, that they would have boldness to speak the word anyway. I think it was an acknowledgement of fear to some degree. God, we need help. God, we do not want to be taken by our fears, taken to such a degree that we don't do those things that are right. Those things that we know that are right, those things that we know that we should be doing, but yet because all of the pressure around us and all of the things that people have said to us, we are afraid. And we are afraid that we will not fulfill our obligation. When it comes to fear and anxiety in the Christian life, I think we have to consider both those words. The definition of fear is an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain or threat. But sometimes I believe in our Christian lives we are not held back because of fear. We're not really concerned about the danger or pain or the threat. More of what we're concerned about is anxiety. Well, what's anxiety defined as? Anxiety is defined as a feeling of worry, nervousness, uneasiness, typically about an event or something with an uncertain outcome. Are we held back in our Christian life sometimes because of fear, but sometimes, many times more so, I believe, in our society here in America, because of anxiety, because of feeling of nervousness, because of a feeling of uneasiness? Is that something that holds our life back? In the book, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway, it has five observations about fear, and I kind of summarize them in three. But the first observation that was made was that the fear will never go away as long as you continue to grow and are in unfamiliar situations, and this is true for everyone. I found that to be somewhat true. is that if you continue to grow, if you continue to put yourself in unfamiliar situations, not necessarily of danger, but if you keep stretching, if you go beyond your comfort zone, what will happen is you'll feel a little fear. Or maybe not fear exactly, but that feeling of anxiety, that feeling of uneasiness to go through and grow. See, growing is not easy. And I think it creates an interesting dynamic in the Christian life, because I think that as we read the scriptures, it teaches us that we should grow. And the observation that I have found in my own life, and maybe you will find the same observation, is that as you try to grow, as you try to stretch yourself, what do you feel? Do you feel a little uneasy? Do you feel a little nervous? Does fear start to creep into your life? Does it hold you back? Fear and anxiety, I believe, will be part of our lives as long as we continue to grow. As I look back on my life, every situation where I felt, not every situation, but many situations where I felt fear and anxiety, right on the other side of that fear and anxiety was spiritual growth. And significant spiritual growth, it was right on the other side of fear. It was right on the other side of that anxiety. It was right on the other side. But the question is will we let that hold us back from doing those things which is right? The first observation is that if we are going to grow, there's a certain amount of fear and anxiety that goes along with that. And what's interesting is it sets up an interesting dynamic in the Christian life, because I think we see throughout the Bible, the idea is that growth is an expectation, not a suggestion. Growth is an expectation, not a suggestion. I think many times as Christians, we try to take it as a suggestion. Well, you know, I'll grow if I feel like it. I'll grow in the situations where no! We should be trying to grow every chance that we get. I think Paul calls out Christians when they're not growing. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. Here it says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Paul, why are you being so rough on these individuals? They're not growing. Isn't that really what Paul is saying here? You're not growing. By this time, you ought to be teachers, but he says, I'm going to have to go back and start at the very foundations. He says, I'm going to have to build you up again. You're going to have to grow. I firmly believe that spiritual growth isn't a suggestion, but an expectation. You need to get used to a little fear and a little anxiety in your life. When we look back at the Christians of the first century, when we look back in the book of Acts, when we look at Acts chapter 4 and we see these individuals who are threatened, do you think they had some fear in their lives? Do you think they had some anxiety in their lives? Why do you think they went to God in prayer to pray for boldness? Because they had fear and anxiety. They were worried. But the question is how do we handle that feeling? How do we handle that feeling? And what I believe is if throughout the Christian life, we're in this interesting dynamic of fear is always going to be a part of our lives. Why? Because we try to continue to grow. You not have a little fear and a little anxiety in your life, what I'll suggest to you is you've got in a comfort zone. You've decided I'm not going to push any farther. I'm not going to try any new things. I'm not going to try to serve God in new ways. I'm fine where I am. I don't need to push any farther. Will you feel the fear and do it anyway? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, we find a parable. And I think God really lays stuff out so simple in parables. What we find in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30, we find the parable of the talent. And not wanting to necessarily read all of it, but as the parable unfolds, it says, for the kingdom of heaven, in verse 14, is like a man traveling to a far off country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to one to the other one to the other one, one to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on his journey. Well, he goes off on this journey, and we recall the parable, and when he returns, he starts to ask these gentlemen what they did with the talents that he gave them. And he goes through, and the first two individuals have good reports, and they say, we have taken those talents and we have grown them. But where I want to pick up is in verse 22, kind of picking up on the tail end of that. It says, he also who received two talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me two talents. Look, I have gained two more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid my talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We see the story unfold, and we see the talents given out. We see when he returns, two of those people have grown. And one of those individuals did not grow. Did not grow that which the Lord had given him. What was the Lord really angry about? There was no growth. There was stagnation. That's what the Lord was mad about. And I think many times we think the Lord will be satisfied with stagnation. The Lord will be satisfied if I just play it safe. If I do things the way I've always done them, and I never grow. Why didn't he grow? Well, he tells you, doesn't he? He said, I was afraid. Are you afraid? Are you afraid to grow? So I'm going to tell you a little secret. We all are. We all are. Every time, each and every one of us comes from an opportunity where we have that opportunity to grow in our lives, I don't think there's one of us that does not have a little fear and a little anxiety. If you're the one who doesn't, please talk to me after services, because I would really like to understand this better. But I think that's a mistake that we make, if we look at other individuals and we say, they don't have any fear, they don't have any anxiety as they grow. No, we all do. As we push those boundaries, we all have that fear and anxiety, and we have to push through. But how many times are we like this person from the parable of the talents, and we say, you know what, God? I was just too afraid to grow. It does not look like that's going to be an acceptable excuse when the Lord comes back and asks for an account. Ask for an account of the abilities that he has given you. He's not asking for things that you cannot do, that you don't have the ability to do. He's not asking you to be a superstar. He's just asking you to grow. He didn't say, person with one talent, why didn't you have 20 talents? He didn't say that. He just said, some growth, not stagnation. But how many times in the church are we satisfied with stagnation? How many times in our own lives are we satisfied with the status quo? How many times in our lives are we satisfied with not facing our fears? And I think what we find is that fear hinders growth. And if fear and anxiety hinders growth, it is definitely something that we have to deal with when it comes to our Christian lives, because growth is an expectation. I find fear and anxiety where I grow. Growing is not comfortable or easy. But what God's after is progress. As teachers, sometimes we'll walk up to a student that's not progressing the way we'd like them to, or not, and we'll walk up to that student and we'll say, okay, Here's our little deal. I'm going to be back in about 5 minutes. What I'd like you to do is try to get 1 and 2 done, and then when I get back in 5 minutes, I want to see 1 and 2 done. Deal? Deal. We leave, we come back. What are we looking for? Progress. Progress. That's all we're looking for. Progress. Just a little growth. Just a little growth. But how many times are we satisfied with stagnation? How many times in our spiritual lives do we say, you know what, I'm not going to try to go ahead another question. I'm not going to try to take another step. I'm not going to go any further. You know why? Because I feel the fear. I feel the anxiety. I feel uneasy. And how many times does that fear get in the way of our growth? So you need a strong desire to grow. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You have to have a desire to grow. And growing is a process. We don't start in all the same place, and we're certainly not going to end in the same place. We get in trouble when we start comparing. The idea is that you grow where you are. You grow where you are. In Luke chapter 8, verses 14 through 15, it's talking about the parable of the sower. And when we break down one of these passages about some of the seeds, I think it's interesting. In Luke chapter 8, verses 14 through 15, it says, now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bringing no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit. What do I want to focus on there? It says, now the ones that fell among the thorns are those, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares. Well, what are cares? Anxieties. Worries. Fears. Well, I fear this. I fear that. And this isn't any worldly thing. But many times in our spiritual growth, how many times does worldly things hold us back from spiritual growth? Well, what are they going to think? What are they going to say? How am I going to sound? How am I going to look? Well, I'm probably not going to look too well, you know. I didn't get much sleep last night. So you know what? I'm not going to preach that. I'm not going to look good. What? What are we doing? We let these little sinners come into our lives, and what they do is they hinder our growth. And we worry about things that are so small. And what happens is fear chokes the growth out of our lives. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, it says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. I think sometimes when we think about growth, fear, and anxiety, we look around and we say, you know what? That guy doesn't have fear and anxiety. He just doesn't have it. I think we all do. If we're growing and we're pushing the edge of our potential, I can tell you a secret. If I listened to the voices of fear, I would not be here today. If I listened to anxiety, I would not be here today. I can tell you where I would be. I would be still in St. Mary's, West Virginia. And I'd probably still be sitting in a pew and not be a Christian. If I listened to all the fears and the anxiety, that's where I would be. I would not be before you today. But sometimes, after we saw people speak so many times, we're like, they've got no fear, they've got no anxiety. No, it's there! You know why? Because I'm growing. I'm pushing the limit. I'm going to the edge of my comfort zone, and many times past, and I feel the fear, and I do it anyway. Brothers and sisters in Christ, if you are going to grow, trust me, you're going to feel a little fear. You're going to feel a little anxiety. Everyone goes through this. I think the best example is young men who start to serve the Lord, whether it be prayer, scripture reading, serving communion. Do you remember that first time? I do. Made a whole lot of mistakes. And you know what's interesting? Every time we go into an unfamiliar situation, every time we do something that we haven't done before, that anxiety and fear comes back again. I remember the first time I served communion here. Sarah was like, they usually take those two trays that they hand you first, and they pass those two trays down. You know, that's just one of the things you miss sometimes when you're sitting down. Everyone does it a little different. It wasn't a big deal. I was a little nervous. Okay, well, they hand me two. Okay, I hand one over here. Then I get another. It doesn't matter. Feel the fear and do it anyway. We all make mistakes. We all do silly things. And people look at people and they're like, oh, they've done communion. No, we all have that fear. The first time I did a prayer, I don't know what I said. I don't know what I said. I got up there, I said things, and I just hope I got some amen in there, and Jesus took care of the rest there. But I don't know. I don't remember it. But we forget sometimes. We forget sometimes that when we grow, there's fear and anxiety. And when we don't have a little bit of fear and anxiety in our lives, we should question ourselves, because we might have fell into a comfort zone. A comfort zone where there's no growth. A comfort zone where we become stagnant. A comfort zone where we become the servant that when the master returns, we have nothing to show for it. Where we try to grow each and every day of our lives. Observation number two. Observation number two is the only way to get rid of fear and the feeling of it is by doing what you're afraid of doing. That is crazy. You're telling me that the only way I'm going to get rid of this fear is by doing the thing that I fear. That's what I found. That's kind of what the book said. That's kind of an interesting idea. Well, I'm afraid of serving the Lord by speaking. You know the only way to get over that fear? Someone else. You know the only fear to get over is saying a public prayer? Say a public prayer. You know the only way to get over making that phone call that you know needs to be made? By making that phone call that needs to be made. It's one of those things that's so hard. The way to eliminate fear is by facing it head on. And it's easier said than done. There's so many things in my life that once I completed that task that I dreaded, you know, I thought to myself, it wasn't worth the stress, the time, the anxiety, and the fear that I dedicated to it. How long did I wait? How long did I think? How long did I stress over? How long did I fear that thing? And all I had to do was pick up the phone and make the call. And after I made that phone call, it was just like a huge weight off my shoulder. I thought, what did I make a big deal about that for? But yet we do, don't we? We do. Is that those things that we fear, the only way to suppress those fears is to actually go out and do those things. And it's easier said than done. I heard it said one time, there's never a right time to do something wrong. Very true. There's never a right time to do something wrong. Is there ever a right time to do something? No! But the other side of it is, and never a wrong time to do something right. There's never a wrong time to do something right, but I can tell you what happens in my life, and probably what happens in your life as well, is we know that there's something right that needs to be done, and we talk ourselves out of it. Oh, it's the wrong time. I can't call now. It's too late. I can't call now. It's too early. I can't call now. It's in the middle of the day. Where are we ever going to make the call? Well, I can't talk to that person right now. I can't talk to that person tomorrow. I can't talk to that person next month. What happens? The person never gets talked to. The gospel isn't spread. Why isn't the gospel spread? Because of fear. There's never a wrong time to do something right, but how many times do we talk ourselves out of it? What's that voice in our head? Fear, anxiety, Satan coming after us, trying to get us to not do the things which we know to do that are right. In Galatians chapter 6, and verse 10, it says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those of the household of faith. How many opportunities have went right by your life because of fear? You have an opportunity to do good to that person. You have an opportunity to do good to this person. You have an opportunity to do good to those in the household of faith, but we let those opportunities back again and again and again. Why? Because of fear. Because of anxiety. Because of that feeling of uneasiness. And so many times we forget who's with us and who's on our side. The psalmist says, Psalm 118, verse 6, it says, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? How many times does fear get in our way? Do we understand that the only way to eliminate so many fears in our lives is to face them head on? In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 27, it says, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power of your hand to do so. We know to do good. We know that doing good things is good. Then why do we hold back? You know what? I know that this would be a great thing to do, but we're not going to do it. I know that this person would be a great person to talk to, but I'm not going to do it. I know that, and we can just go on and on and on. How many times that we know that there's a good thing out there to be done, but we hold back and hesitate? Why do we hold back and hesitate? Are we afraid? Do we have fear? What's holding us back? See, it really boils down to, you've got to feel the fear and do it anyway. You've got to feel the fear and do it anyway. Now, I think God teaches us interesting ideas about fear that we're going to get to, But when it comes to fear, I don't know if us on this human plane of life are going to be able to completely eliminate it. I don't think you're ever going to stand and say, I'm fearless. Because I think when you start to say you're fearless, what happens is you start to fall, because that pride kind of builds up in you. It's like, I have made mistakes. There are times that I have fallen to fear. There are times that I have fallen to the anxieties of this life. But do we let that anxiety hold us back from doing those things which are right? I think the Christian life is facing fear. And I can tell you personally, I've lost the fight to fear many times. There's many times where I need to do right and I do not. Well, why didn't you, Kyle? I was afraid. In our country, I think that there's going to be many more opportunities for us to stand up, to do those things that are right, to do those things that are good. But the only problem is we're going to fall into a situation that we have in the book of Acts in chapter 4, where they say, do not speak about Jesus, or basically do not do something that is good, and what are we going to have to do? We're going to have to feel the fear and do it anyway. I think that's what they were praying for in Acts chapter 4. After they were threatened, after they were arrested, and after they said, preach no more of this Jesus, and they threatened them, what did they do? They went home and they said, let's get together and let's pray. Let's pray for what? Boldness. That we may be fearless. That we may feel the fear and do it anyway. That we may do the things that are good. That we don't leave the good undone. You know what? I'm afraid. I'm afraid to talk to that friend. I'm afraid to talk to that family member. I'm afraid to talk to that stranger about Jesus. How long will we let fear hold us back, brothers and sisters in Christ? How long will we let anxiety hold us back? See, when you know there's something good to be done, do not delay. Because number one, James tells us we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And then number two, is that's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to delay. He wants you to delay. Observation number three. It says, pushing through fear is less frightening than living with the underlying fear that comes from a feeling of helplessness. See, the thing is, if you fear everything and you're not going to do anything, basically you're just helpless. Well, I can't do that. You can't do that. You're helpless. Okay? But a couple of ideas to remember is, number one, God is on your side. When you boil down all fears, this is what I think it boils down to, which I think was an observation made in the book that I thought was really good. All fears can be boiled down to this. Think of your fears that you have. All your fears boil down to this. I can't handle it. I can't handle my spouse leaving me. I can't handle my dad dying. I can't handle this, I can't handle this, I can't handle this. All fears in our lives, I think, boil down to that simple idea. I can't handle it. Well, I can tell you a little secret. There's probably a lot of things that you can't handle. But there is nothing that God can't handle. Have you forgot who's on your side? Have you forgot who's on your side? Because I might not be able to handle it, but you know what? God and I can handle it together. I can handle death with God. I can handle persecution with God. I can handle all things with God. But there's a whole bunch of things I can't handle by myself. Have you forgotten who's on your side? Romans chapter 8, verse 31 says, what then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? But how quickly do we forget? It's kind of like a basketball game. I played a lot of basketball. Every once in a while, I played with some really good guys. And you know what? When that guy walked into the gym, that was your best player, you're like, oh, we got this. I know who's on my team. You know who's on your team in your spiritual game of life? God's on my team. That's who's on my team. I've got God on my team. I can handle it. Not in myself, but because God is on my team, we can handle it together. It doesn't matter what comes. It doesn't matter what I have to face. It doesn't matter the persecution. It doesn't matter the disease. I can handle it because God's on my side. We have the Creator on our side. There's so many anxieties in this life, so many fears in this life, but it helps us when we know that God's on our side. I wouldn't take back the adversities that I face in this life, the trials, the hardships, the persecution, the pain, the disease, all those things that I face, because I can look back on those things and say, I handled it. Not me, myself. Don't miss the idea. I handled it with God. God and I handled it together. I think all fears are boiled down to that idea. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 14, it says, "And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled." Why could they say such a thing? When the threats come and all these things come, don't be afraid. Well, why? God's on your side. Also, I think we have to think of the mindset of a Christian for a second. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says that we shouldn't be conformed to the world, but our minds should be conformed. And I think it's very important. God teaches us certain things not to fear. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, it says, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." I'm not saying I'm a perfect guy. And I'm not saying that I don't have fear creep into my life. I'm not saying that I have anxiety that don't creep into my life about people who can kill the body. But I think when you realize that God's on your side, God's basically telling you that you can get some of those fears out of your life. I'm not saying it's a perfect thing. I'm not saying that I'm fearless all the time, but I tell you, that certainly helps me when I know that God's on my side. There's a lot of things I don't have to fear because God is on my side. I can remember Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Do we forget that God tells us that not only with our fears but our anxieties, what does He tell us to do with them? There's certain things that I can handle with the help of God, but there's certain things that we have to realize are out of our control. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 7, it says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." What does God want you to do with your anxieties and your fears? Throw them unto God, because He cares for you. Do you throw your anxieties and your fears upon God? That's what He asks you to do, so you can get them out of your life, so you can get on with living. And the psalmist said in Psalm 34 and verse 4, it says, "I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears." We worry about foolish things sometimes. So many foolish things that we worry about. We let those anxieties and those fears hold us back from serving the Lord. But I play the opposite game. Well, what kind of game are you talking about? I play the opposite game when it comes to fear. Well, let me explain. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 16, the opposite game. Okay? Paul says, "For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of." 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. He says, "For necessity is laid upon me, yet woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." What was Paul afraid of? I think Paul's trying to say here, I'm more afraid of not preaching the gospel than preaching the gospel. Is that what he's saying? Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. See, I always try to play the opposite game. What happens, Kyle, if you stand up, if you don't stand up and if you don't preach, people aren't going to hear the gospel. What's going to happen, Kyle, if they need someone to speak and you don't speak? What's going to happen, Kyle, if they need a song leader and you don't song lead? See, there's things in our lives that if we realize, if we leave good things undone, the terrible things have happened. I've traveled a lot of places. Horrible song leader. Self-proclaimed. But let me tell you something. If I walk into some place and they need a song leader, I'm going to lead song. Because praising God and me leading songs does not make me fear as much as God not being praised. We can either praise God with me being your song leader, not very good, or we cannot praise God. We can either preach the gospel or we cannot preach the gospel. We can either tell our friends or we cannot tell our friends. What are you going to do? Feel the fear and do it anyway. Well, how can you handle that? Because God's on your side. And what happens if we don't? If we let our fears and anxieties take over our minds, take over our hearts, and nothing good ever gets done. Because fear has taken over our lives. Perhaps you have heard the gospel message many, many times. You've heard it many times. What's holding you back? Maybe it is that you just don't believe, but I think that many times there are people who believe. They believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He died and raised from the dead, and I think many times what holds people back is fear. Fear holds them back.
Before I became a Christian, I remember holding the fuse during the invitation song. When the invitation song was sung, I would break into a sweat. It's nice to not have a fear because God's on our side. That He will take care of all of those things. That all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. Maybe you're called to His purpose tonight. To believe His word, to repent, to confess, and be baptized. We'd love to help you in any way. If you need the prayers of the church, you need to become a New Testament Christian. Please come as we stand and sing.